Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on our first live stream here at Redeeming Love Christian Center. We're streaming this way because we choose to be in compliance with the regulations regarding the coronavirus. And so we're going to be spending time with you via live stream for the next 2 weeks. Though I can't look into your eyes, I'm sure you'll be out there. You're out there anyway. So we just want to thank you all for coming. Going to talk to you a little bit tonight, after I pray, going to talk to you about having rock-solid belief. So if you're ready, I'm going to jump right in because I'm ready. Father, we just thank you for this time we have, for these precious people that have come tuned in. Thank you, Father, for the social media resources that you've allowed to be developed so that we can join with the people at such a time as this. And Father, before I release the word that you gave me, as always, I cover two things. First, Father, regardless of the words that come out of my mouth, please let each person hear exactly what you need them to hear based on your purpose and plan for their lives as individuals, as members of the body at large, and in particular, members of this congregation. And Lord, I'm only going to say those things you tell me to say or do those things that you tell me to do, and I will not pull any punches, so you won't have to pull me from the lineup. But when this transmission is over, the people will have been built up and edified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 16. I'm going to share them out of the Passion Translation because this represents the theme, if you will, that God gave me for 2020. Peter said, "In order to honor the Lord, you must respect and defer to the authority of every human institution, whether it be the highest ruler or the governors he puts in place to punish lawbreakers and to praise those who do what's right." Listen to this. "For it is God's will for you to silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing what is right. As God's loving servants, you should live in complete freedom, but never use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer." Now, remember what it just said. It said, recognize the value of every person, but continue to show love to every believer. Why is he emphasizing every believer? Because Jesus said to his disciples, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. The same way I love you, you love one another." Because when you love one another, when we love one another the way Jesus loves us, everyone will know that we are his disciples. Why is that important? We want the world to listen to us because God gives us the answers to every problem that the world faces. If they don't see us loving one another, they won't believe that we love them. So it's very important that we love one another. Continually to show love to every believer, live your lives in great reverence and in holy awe of God. Honor your rulers. That means honors those that are in authority. Now, as always, I ask God questions. I mean, he's my father. I can ask him questions. He'll answer me. And I wanted to know why he told me that the theme for this year was living as true believers. And he said to me, he said, it's very important that his children live and act like his children because there are things coming down the pike and his children are going to be called on to handle it. And if you're not living as his child, then you won't be able to handle it. See, God knew that the devil was going to unleash some negative circumstances. John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes with the purpose of stealing, killing, and destroying. Now, mind you, it doesn't say he will absolutely steal, kill, and destroy, but his purpose for coming is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said he's come so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So on one hand, you have this one force that's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, or coming to wreak havoc in our lives, and you have this other Lord Jesus who's come so that we have life and have it more abundantly. And the question is, who's going to prevail? You have these two opposing forces. How do you know which one's going to prevail? Well, when you have two opposing forces, there are some key critical things that determine the outcome. Look at it this way. I always use sports analogies. With the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers, none of them were my teams, but they were in the Super Bowl, and both of them had the same purpose. They both came to that Super Bowl to win it, to destroy the other team and to win it. Only one came out victorious. Why? Both teams had formidable players. Both of them had coaching staff that was knowledgeable. Both of them had playbooks. So what determined the outcome if they both had similar power, similar authority, similar guidance? Execution. Those that executed the plans properly, those that executed, those that stuck to it, they're the ones who prevail. And that's why when I use the term true Christians, I'm talking about people who stick to it, Christians who stick to who they are, who first of all know who they are in Christ, understand that they are new creatures in Christ Jesus, and then they act like it. They act like it. You don't pay attention. Well, I'll say it this way. I don't pay attention to what the enemy has. You know why? I know what I have. And I know what I have outweighs anything the enemy can come up with. My youngest son was in the Army, and he drove a tank. And he was telling me that he didn't have any concerns because at that time, the tank that the United States has was the best one out there. And it could overcome anything. Now it's Israel has the best tank out there, he's telling me. And he knew as long as he stayed in his tank and allowed his tank to do what it was supposed to do, he was fine. He was fine. Well, Joshua tells us to meditate in the word day and night, observing to do all that's written therein, because then we'll make our way successful and then prosperous, rather, and then we'll have good success. So as long as we stay in the word, just as my son had to stay in his tank, everything worked out well. It's when he got outside of his tank, it's when we get outside of the word that we run into issues. True believers stay in the word. True believers understand faith. Look at Mark 11:23. I know everybody knows this, and some have heard me confess this use this translation several times. It's the Ben Campbell Johnson translation of Mark 11:23 that says, "Truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder, saying, 'Dump yourself in the lake,' and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement." Now, here's what I want you to understand about that passage. You make a statement and you don't become separated from it. Growing up, you know, when you grow up, you always talk about someone's parents. I mean, I didn't always. I very rarely did because my parent would get me. But, you know, everyone that they talk about your mama. And it was almost like a rule back then. If someone talked about your mama, you had to punch him in the eye. And so I used to get in trouble because I dotted a lot of I's because they were talking about my mother. But before I would react, I would go up to them and say, "You take that back." And they would look at me and I'd say, "You take that back. The words that you just spoke to me, you take those words back." And then I might add an "or else." And when the person saw that I was serious, invariably they would back away from the words that they spoke. That's what the devil is doing to us right now. We make bold professions of our faith that with the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I'm healed. I'm the healed, I'm not the sick. He sent his word and healed me, delivered me from my transgressions. And all of that is true. But then the enemy comes with something that presents itself that says, you're not healed. What do you say about that? Are you going to stick with his stripes, I was healed? Or are you going to go somewhere else? That's what it's talking about when it says, then you do not back down from the words that you've spoken. You spoke the word and you stand on the word, and you need to understand that when you make a bold declaration of faith, most of the time the devil is going to come up with something to see if you meant it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I love talking about those three young men. They made a bold declaration of faith. They said, we don't have to think about this. We are not going to bow down. And our God will deliver you, will deliver us from your fiery furnace or anything else you may cook up, O king. Now, a modern day believer will make a statement like that, and they would expect that the furnace would just fall apart. The fire would go out. They wouldn't get it going. And they never expect to have to go into the fire because they made this declaration of faith. Well, what happened to those three young men right after they made that declaration? The furnace became seven times hotter than it was. It didn't go away. It didn't cool off. It got worse. And they had to go into the fire. And the reason the king had it heated seven times hotter is he was after their words. He wanted them to back away from the words that they have spoken. We're in a situation now, the world is in a situation because there's a pandemic going on, and it's designed to get people to back away from the words they've been saying. I'm not taking away from what it does. You know, yes, it's created huge problems for people. But we don't go by anybody. The only reputation that means anything to a true believer is what Jesus did, what Jesus said, what God gave us. I go with that over anything else. Yes, it has a name. They call it the coronavirus. They call it COVID-19. But we have been given a name that is above every name. And the Bible tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means then when we're walking in our authority and we speak, even COVID-19 has to say Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Because a true believer does not back down. No matter, and it doesn't matter if you have to get tested and the test comes back positive or negative, doesn't change anything that the word says. Doesn't change it at all. Your faith will make, has made you whole. Period. We need to understand it. We want to believe it. We want to act like this. I know this service is streamed, but I feel like it's live and the people are in here. Because as always, I'm ahead of myself. It's somewhere in my notes. In 1 Corinthians 15, there's a characteristic of true believers that I want to spend a few moments to emphasize. We're familiar with it, with verse 58, but I want to read it in several different translations just for emphasis. The Message Bible says, with all this going for us, my dear friends, stand your ground and don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master confidently, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. The New Century says, so, dear brothers and sisters, stand strong. Do not let anything move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your work in the Lord is never wasted. The Amplified Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile, it is never wasted or to no purpose. The NIV says, stand firm and let nothing move you. The Contemporary English Version says, stand firm and don't be shaken. The Bible in Basic English says, be strong in purpose and unmoved. God's Word translation says, don't let anyone, and I like to add, or anything, move you off the foundation for your faith. Don't let anyone or anything move you off the foundation of your faith. The New Living Translation says, be strong and steady. Now, I like to know about words. I look up words. I look them up in, as you can see, in a lot of translations. I look in, them up in the concordance. I look them up in dictionary. I just look them up because I just like to know what it's talking about. And when I looked up the word move, M-O-V-E-D, which is a don't be moved, it means to agitate, to disturb, to trouble, and then metaphorically it means to stir up with fear or some other emotion. That's what moved, one of the definitions of moved. The dictionary says, capable of being moved, lifted, carried, drawn, turned, or conveyed, or in any way, listen, being moved means in any way to change your posture or your place or your position, your reference. Whatever it is that came, it caused you to start thinking differently. Unmovable means firmly persistent, not to be moved from its place. As believers, we're to be firmly persistent and not to be moved from our place. It means not able or intended to be moved. So when I look at all those different definitions, God is really saying, be steadfast. Don't allow yourselves to become agitated, disturbed, or stirred up with fearful emotions. Do allow anything or anyone, don't allow rather anything or anyone to cause you to be carried, turned, or drawn away from God's purpose for you and from God's promises to you. See, when you fail to remain unmovable, you may miss or delay what God has for you. Let's go back to Exodus 14. We'll talk a few moments about Moses and the Israelites. Because fear makes you do some ridiculous things. Here you have a people that God performed miracle after miracle after miracle on their behalf. There was just a myriad of signs and wonders so that they knew God was God and Pharaoh knew God was God. And then finally it got to the place where Pharaoh agreed to let the people go. But after Pharaoh, you know, said that he would let them go, well, Pharaoh started getting pressure, you know, from the people. And he said, why did you let these go? Why did you let them go? And so he decided he was going to go get them back. And so the Israelis, when they're on their way, not a care in the world because they believe they're free, God had delivered them. God had delivered them. And they look up and they see the Pharaoh coming with his entire army. The entire army of Egypt was coming after the Israelites. The Bible says that Pharaoh had his chosen 600 chariots plus all the other chariots, all of them coming down, raining down on the Israelites. And they were afraid to the point, if you read that story out, they got so afraid, some of them wanted to go back into slavery. And they murmured to Moses, you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. Well, God had a word for the people. And what God said to Moses then to the people applies today. In Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14, King James Version, Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. Moses, at God's direction, told the people, stand still, be steadfast, be firm, be unmovable, because God is going to show up and he's going to take care of this stuff today. Well, like I said, he's saying the same thing. Stand still. Don't get yourself up in a roar. The entire Egyptian army coming after the Israelites was a big deal. It wasn't anything to be taken lightly. But God said to them, stand still and see his salvation. What we're going through during this season now, it's nothing to be taken lightly. It's serious. God's words are still the same to his children. Stand still and see his salvation. Don't get yourself all worked up about it. Is it there? Yes. Is it coming? Yes. Is God going to handle it? Yes. If we stand still, if we are steadfast, immovable, and we're always abounding, we continue doing the work that God called us to do. In the Amplified Bible, God tells the people, fear not, stand still, firm, confident, undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. I love this part. I love this next part. It says, for the Egyptians you have seen today, you shall never see again. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace and remain at rest. You do what God told you to do. You stand up and stand strong as a child of the Most High God, and you will remain at peace, and you'll remain at rest, and you won't get frustrated no matter what goes on around you. The supermarket shelves may be empty, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. According to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. According to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, our God shall supply all our need. So what do I do with that? I rest in it. I cast my cares on him, and I rest, knowing that my Father has got it covered, and I don't concern myself with how. He's already demonstrated in his word that he'll send ravens to bring you food. And that's interesting because ravens are scavengers. They don't share food, they steal food. But God said, the ravens will bring you food. If you trust, you just have to trust him. In the midst of all that was going on near the Red Sea, the Israelites were instructed by God to stand still and see his salvation. That hasn't changed. That has not changed. Folks, we're believers. More than that, we're true believers. We're a believer in every sense of the word. Matthew 16 tells us who we are. It gives us a very good inclination. In New Living Translation, Jesus said, this is after Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And then he asked them the only question that mattered. He said, who do you say I am? And that's a question, that's a good question to ask tonight. Who do you say Jesus is? But Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven and earth. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. And when I looked at that verse in the Passion Translation, it says it in an entirely different way that really got me excited. The Passion Translation says, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to, and he said, I'll give you the keys to forbid on earth that which is already forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. So that means, folks, that whatever is forbidden in heaven, we as children of God, we as true believers have been given the means to forbid the same thing here on earth. Whatever is released in heaven, we've been given the keys to release it right here on earth. What's forbidden in heaven? Sickness, disease, chaos, confusion, lack, fear. All of that has been forbidden in heaven. We have the keys so that it can be forbidden right here on earth. What's released in heaven? You ever think about that? Health, joy, peace is all released. Praise is all released in heaven. We've been given the keys to release it right here on the earth. So right here on the earth, right now in the midst of everything that's going on, we can release joy, peace, healing, praise, because we've been given the keys. And as children of the Most High God, as the church founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, it is our right to do so. It is our right. We can choose to release. We can choose to do so. With true believers, what's holding us back? We don't have to tolerate things the way they are. Not if we have rock solid faith, not if we have rock solid belief. I want you to understand this point, because we tend to get excited about what we're going through. I need you to write this down. What happens to you is never as important as how you handle it. I'll say it again. What happens to you is never as important as how you handle it. How you handle it, folks, is going to be based on what you believe, and what you believe will determine who you are. You may want to write that one down. What you believe will determine who you are. Let me give you a scriptural example of that. Matthew 9, verse 27. And I'll be this is in the Message Bible. And those of you that know me know that I read scripture in every translation I can find. I don't do it to impress anyone. I do it because I want to get a good knowledge of it. And then I ask God which one he wants me to share with the people. So with this verse, he said, use the Message translation. As this is one of those biblical accounts that just amazes me. Matthew 9, verses 27 to 30. As Jesus left the house, he was followed by two blind men crying out, mercy, son of David, mercy on us. Now, just think about it. Two blind men following you. Two blind men following you, okay? When Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him. And Jesus said to them, do you really believe I can do this? Do you really believe I can do? He never asked them what they wanted. He knew they wanted something. But he asked them, do you really believe I can do this? Is your belief rock solid that what you're about to ask me, I can do? They said, why, yes, Master. Listen to what happened. According to the Message Bible, he touched their eyes and said, become what you believe. It happened. They saw. It happened. They saw. They became what they believed, what they expected would happen, happened. Because they expected it. They believed it. Jesus didn't say, be healed. He didn't say, I rebuke you, spirit of blindness. He simply said to them, become what you believe. And that's one of the points I want you to understand this evening. You will become what you believe, and it doesn't matter what's going on around them. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. You will become what you believe. So the question for you to ask yourself is, what is it that I really believe? What is it that I truly believe? Because you can fool me. You can fool your friends. You can fool your family. But you're not going to fool your own belief. No matter what you say, what you truly believe is going to show in what you do or in what you don't do. You are not going to be able to trick your own belief. So if you're afraid, just like the father of the demon-possessed boy, he said, I believe, help my unbelief. He was saying, I believe, but I'm having a problem with this. He was being honest. And because he was honest, his son was healed. His son was delivered. What would have happened if he kept faking it? It's okay. It's okay, folks. If you're fearful, tell your father, Father, I'm fearful. I need to be strengthened. He'll tell you what you need to do to get the strength that you need. He wants us to be rock solid believers. We represent him and he's rock solid. But you have to be, one has to be honest with themselves. God's Word translation about that same account says Jesus touched their eyes and said, what you have believed will be done for you. What you have believed will be done for you. It's important to understand that what you believe, folks, will be done for you, whether it be to the glory of God or not. If you believe it, it's going to be done. So we have to be very mindful as to what we believe and even more mindful as to what we say, because the two go together. You're going to speak based on what you believe. And you put in place another biblical principle, you will have whatsoever you say. So when we talk about not being moved by circumstances, we have to ask ourselves, what do I really believe about God? What do I really believe about me? And what do I really believe about the circumstance? What do I really believe about it? Are we going to be like the Israeli army when they're going against the Philistines? And the Bible says they're doing their war cries and they're clanging armor and clanging their shields and talk about what they're going to do to the Philistines. And they go out on the battlefield and Goliath steps out and challenges them and they all go running back into their prep area because they said one thing, but they were believing something else. They're talking about how great and mighty they are until a formidable opponent comes. Then what? Then what do you do? We have to get to the point where either we're God's children and we believe this thing, folks, or we don't. This is a time for us to stand strong and let the world know who we are. Let the world know God has an answer for this plague. And this plague is his children standing up and acting like his children, rearing their shoulders back and speaking in the authority given to us by Jesus. In Luke 10:19, Jesus said, I give you power. Power. The Amplified Bible says, I give you power, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses. Think about that. Jesus gave us power and authority. And no, me being me, I said, God, why did we need power and authority? He said to me, so if they don't listen to your authority, you have the power to back up what you say. I was like, don't tell me that twice. I'll get dangerous with it. But we've been given physical and mental strength and ability over anything that the enemy has. And then once we've determined what we believe, then we need to ask ourselves another important question. Why do I believe it? Do you believe the word because God said it? Because that's all you need. If it's settled, if you have it settled in your spirit, God said it, I believe it, and I'm going with it, then that's good. But if you can't answer why you believe what you believe, someone can cause you to change your mind. And I have purpose in my heart that I'm not letting anybody or anything change my mind. You will locate yourself. You will locate what you believe by your actions. Because as I said earlier, you can't fake it. Your actions will betray you. Your actions may also establish you. Either way, folks are going to know who you are by what you do. Would you go to James 2? I want to give you the scriptural reference as to why I said that. And I'm still in the Message Bible. James 2, I'm going to start at verse 14. Dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, good morning, friend, be clothed in Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? Now, don't get mad with the messenger. Get mad with the one who wrote the Message Bible, because he said it's outrageous nonsense. I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, sounds good. You take care of the faith department. I'll handle the works department. Not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith then I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith fit together hand in glove. This is telling us that I can't, if I don't have faith, I won't have anything to show you. But because I have faith, I have a lot I can show you because I'm doing all of this by faith. And it says they work together hand in glove. Verse 19. Do I hear you professing to believe in the one and only God, but then observe you complacently sitting back as if you've done something wonderful? Well, that's just great. Demons do that, but what good does it do them? Use your heads. Do you suppose for a minute that you can cut faith and works in two and not end up with a corpse on your hands? Wasn't our ancestor Abraham made right with God by works, not by words, when he placed his son Isaac on a sacrificial altar? Isn't it obvious that faith and works are yoked partners? And when you're yoked together, that means you can't be separated. That faith expresses itself in works, that the works are works of faith. The full meaning of believe in the scripture sentence, Abraham believed God and was set right with God, includes his action. It's that mesh of believing and acting that got Abraham named God's friend. It is not evident that a person is made right with God not by a barren faith, but by a faith fruitful in works. The same with Rahab, the Jericho harlot. Wasn't her action in hiding God's spies and helping them escape that seamless unity of believing and doing? That's what counted with God. The very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. Separate faith and works, and you get the same thing, a corpse. So it doesn't matter that you say you're a great man or woman of faith. What matters is, are you doing acts that prove you're a great man or woman of faith? That's what matters. Our actions, not our words. In any situation, any trial, as we've been discussing, any circumstance, what you believe will determine what you will become, and what you believe will also determine your outcome. What you believe will determine what you will become, and what you believe will determine your outcome. And there is no getting away from that, folks. There is no getting away from it. Do you believe that we are the church founded on a revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church? Well, if you believe that, stand your ground and don't hold back. Stand strong and not let anything move you. Stand firm, steadfast, immovable. Don't be shaken. Be strong in purpose and unmoved. That means be sure about who you are and what you're supposed to be doing, and don't back away from it. I don't care what happens. Do not allow any circumstance to move you off the foundation of your faith. And be steady, because there's not a circumstance anywhere that can ever cause us to be moved, because we've become true believers and we have that rock solid belief. So as I said earlier, the attack came and it has a name. Right now it's called COVID-19. That name should not bring fear or dread, because we've been given a name. We've been given not a name. We've been given the name that is above all other names, and we have the legal right and authority to invoke the name of Jesus. And every contrary circumstance has no choice. Has no choice. Because our belief is rock solid and we've become steadfast and immovable, COVID-19 or anything else the devil may bring has to yield to your rock solid faith, your rock solid belief. It has to yield. It has to. We were put here, one of the reasons we were created, one of the reasons God created us, was to subdue the earth, to bring it and keep it under control. Period. We're the answer. Whatever's going on in this world, we believers, true believers, are the answer. And we have to start placing more emphasis on that than on any circumstance that comes. Because the moment we place more emphasis on the circumstance, we've become movable, because we were moved off our belief. But everything that's not from our Father has to yield to our rock solid faith. It has to. It absolutely has to. So the question again that you have to ask yourself, what do you really believe? Who do you really believe you are? Do you really believe that you're a child of the Most High God? Do you really believe that you're a member of the church founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ? Do you really believe that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church? Do you really believe that? Because if you really believe that, then all you have to do is act like it and stop letting circumstances push you off of what you believe. And actually, it doesn't push you off, because it can't push you off. It presents itself and you step away. You become separated from the words that you've spoken. That's not who we are, folks. That's not who we were created to be. We sing the song, I'm an overcomer. Well, great. Here's a situation for us to overcome. You cannot be an overcomer unless you have an adverse situation to overcome. It's just that simple. You don't want to walk around singing that song, we shall overcome, a situation comes and you run away. You'd be like the Israeli army. We'll overcome. Then Goliath steps out. And folks, you don't have to fight fair with the enemy. Use all your weapons. One of the things I always say is shoot the mouse with an elephant gun. I don't have pity on the enemy. If the weapon God, remember, we're to carry around all of our, all the armor. It says take on the whole armor of God. We've been caught, some of us have been caught in battle half dressed. Why? Because I didn't think I needed it. Well, if it says put on the whole armor, that means whoever you face gets the whole armor. You say, well, I just need to, just the breastplate of righteousness will be okay with it. No. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand in the evil day. So if you are not standing strong, and we want to look at it from a scriptural perspective, then you don't you're missing some of your armor. Because when you have on the whole armor of God, the Bible tells us you will be able to stand in the evil day. But if you don't put on the whole armor, you won't be able to stand. God wants us to stand. I want us to stand. All of creation is waiting for us to stand. The Bible tells us all of creation is groaning. They're waiting for us to be unveiled. They're waiting to say, there they are. They're the children of God. Everything's going to be under control now because they're here. That's what all of creation is waiting to cry out. That's what God is waiting for us to realize. And then we'll start seeing things change. Because the true children of God, those who are, the term that I've been using, true believers who have rock-solid belief, once they get to the point where they know who they are and we function as one, we have no more schisms in the body. Everybody's linked together because the Bible tells us every joint supplies. Every single believer has something that every other believer needs. So we have to stop this infighting and link arms together and come as one body of believers. Then we'll see change. Amen. I'm going to unhook right there for this week. I hope you understood. They said with such emotion, I'm not mad at anybody. I just get excited because I just so believe it. I so believe it, and I want everybody to believe it also. Now, real quick before I let you go, you say, I don't have to let you go. You can just turn off the stream, I know. Well, don't turn it off just yet. The key to all of this is being in Christ. So I want to do this quickly. If you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, I want you to just make this quick confession with me. Father God, just repeat it right after me, right wherever you are, just repeat it. Father God, I believe that you are God, and I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is your Son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was buried in my place and went to hell, and I also believe that on the third day, you raised him from the dead. So Jesus, I turn to you and I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance and I turn towards you and I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved, you're born again. So if that's what you did tonight, I want to wish you congratulations. Welcome into the family of God. And I would ask that if you call us at 845 623-9300 tomorrow morning, we will send you some free information to let to just to help you get started on the right foot with who you've become in Christ. Amen. Is everybody else online, even though I can hear you spiritually just cheering on those who have received Jesus Christ tonight? And if we've been a blessing to you, you know, I like to think that we have, but we need to know that because we're not having services, we still do have operating expenses and things, and we would still appreciate your tithe, your offerings, your gifts. And so if you want to send, you know, a gift, an offering to us, we have ways to do that to make it easy for you. You can text your gift. You can text the keyword RLCC plus the amount to 28950. You can go to our website, www.redeeminglovecc.org, and click the donate button and follow the prompts. Or you can put a check in the mail and send it to us. Just mail it to 145 West Route 59, Nanuet, New York, 10954. Thank you again for allowing me into your home or car or whatever device that you're on. We appreciate you. I speak blessings towards you. Wherever you may be, you're kept in safety wherever you go. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. And we'll see you again right here on Sunday at 10:30. God bless you and good night.